I want to say, I definitely want to think punctuality is super, super important when it comes to, obviously business meetings and kind of when it comes to kind of taking your craft seriously or having other people take your craft seriously, you know, or what you're doing seriously. So I always, always, always like someone who's on time for a meeting, you know, super, super important. And so especially for a mentor session. So we're just kind of free flow. As we generally do. I smiled when I saw your login name. So I thought that was super interesting. So but we did get a chance to briefly talk about some kind of business ideas or some of the business ideas you're thinking about kind of implementing. And so let's just recap or kind of go over some of the, I guess part of the conversation that we were having before as far as where you are on your journey.
So I guess on my journey overall, I'm kind of in the space of it just not feeling okay to give up the confidence of my financial security to someone else. Whether any other company, you know, I feel like I'm doing the 8 hours for other people is putting in work to increase their success, to help their children and their children's future. But it's not so much securing my own. While it might have an immediate assist with helping pay certain bills that I currently have, et cetera. But as far as like actual, I just feel like my life has been very much out of my own control. And because I have my two kids, I really want to make sure that I get a grasp on that. And watching you and my mom my whole life have your own businesses and build them from the ground up and go through all the trials and tribulations of it, I feel confident that I'd be able to follow and continue that entrepreneurial legacy that you guys both have.
Okay, well, you know what, I think that that's the honesty is, it's, you know, I think, you know, I think when you watch business from the outside and it looks easy, it looks like, you know, I think everybody, especially today, wants to be an entrepreneur, influencer of business or own their own business. But they, I wish there was more opportunity where people get the chance to see or peer behind what it takes to make a brand or to be successful. You know, I think people, it would be great if people kind of took some more time to, or I wish there was a way more people showed their journey more so than their destination or how they got, or them getting there.
Vulnerability. Wishing vulnerability was more acceptable. Like, yeah, actually including people along the process, because no one wants to share their failures. No one wants to be vulnerable to share their failures.
Right.
And their shortcomings and the things they got wrong, but everybody has a lot of pride in showing what they did right.
Yeah.
And so there's that misconception that nothing is really, you know, wrong about it.
Yeah. But so I think that, I think there is, I mean, therein lies kind of, you know, wherever there is a shortfall or somewhere where we're kind of seeing an opportunity that other people have missed is an opportunity for us to fill in a gap. You know what I mean? So honestly, you just kind of probably gave yourself something that you could kind of do, is just showing your journey as you're kind of starting this entrepreneur business.
And yeah, I'm still trying to figure out all of that stuff too. But yes.
If you don't stick with it, yeah, you know, it's always good to stick with manure, you know, just
oh my God.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Anyway. You just never know what's going to stick at the wall. You just, anyway, I'm stopping myself right now. Okay. Okay. But, yeah, anyway, so here's the other thing, you know, when it comes to, you know, even a name for a business, even something shocking or just different or just unique is what gets attention. So I think so many of us, it's a name that you may grow into if you're going to continue to use it, but it's intriguing enough to get people's attention, you know?
Yes.
And honestly, that's what any business owner is striving for, is how do I set myself apart from everyone else? How do I get attention, you know, get people's attention? How do I pull people away from the abundance of other information that's out there? How do I do that? So that's one of the ways to do that, you know? So don't be afraid to have something unique. And I kind of think about, I think about Google, and I think about what is that word? What is?
Yeah, because that sounds like I've never thought about that. It sounds like Google Gaga.
Yeah, it's
it sounds like gibberish.
Right, it sounds like gibberish.
One of the most world known words today. Google it. Google me, baby.
I mean, yeah. So, and that's the funny thing. I guess that's the point that I'm making with all of this, is that you don't know what's going to be successful. And that was nothing. That was a name that didn't mean anything, you know?
Yeah.
What does Roku mean, you know? So you think of all these things. So sometimes you can have something and give it meaning. And that's a unique type of thing. Or it's like, if you think about it, Google did not have to compete with that name for anything, because...
Yeah,
it wasn't a thing. Google. Yeah,
yeah,
it just wasn't a thing. And so I think that's the coolest thing about being a business owner, is really kind of I've always been, why it doesn't work for me, and probably why it doesn't work for you, I don't like structure. I don't like other people's structure. You know, I don't like I don't like parameters. I like to be able to set my own parameters. I like to be able to not bridle my creativity. And I think that's important on the journey, is to just be able to have creative freedom. And I'm just weird like that, where even if it's, I don't know, I don't like somebody tell me what I can and cannot do, or what I should and shouldn't do, and how I should do something and when I should do something. And so I'm just like, I just don't like that. You know what I mean? So I just, it's why I didn't go into the military or whatever. I guess I'm not good with following orders or other people's orders. You know, and if you tell me to do something, I'm going to honestly just not do it because you're telling me to do it. You know what I mean? I'm just weirdly wired that way, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And you know, now that you're saying that, it kind of made me think back on, like, you know, my career has historically been within the customer service field. So I've done a lot of call centers and things of that nature. I do love talking to people. I do love helping people, but hearing you like break it down like that, it makes sense, because the parameters of, you can't be on the phone longer than 3 minutes. You can only take 30 seconds to document the account correctly. And then you have to go on to the, like, all of those parameters make it feel suffocating, make it feel like a trap. They make it feel that you hit the nail on the head. Basically, yeah, I was able to resonate with that for sure.
There's no room for creativity, you know. One thing I've started doing, Jabria, when I even start traveling, and Nikki, I love her to death, but she likes to regiment. You have a lot of things planned, and when I travel, I don't like to plan a bunch of things, because you just don't. To me, I'm feeling like you don't even leave room for God to do anything if everything is structured. If you've got your whole plan kind of mapped out, he's got no room to move. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I try to work in a way where I kind of give, I try not to be, I mean, when I go to the airport, I don't try to plan anything else on travel day. If I can avoid it, because you just don't know. I mean, you know, just coming back from Baltimore, the flight was delayed, you know, for an hour. Mm-hmm. But ironically, I met a gentleman on that flight who happened to own a franchise, he owned 50 Sport Clips franchises. And so we got a chance to talk. So that kind of delay got us a chance to communicate and talk. And so it's weird. I'm in line, and I'm at the back of the line. You know, I'm Southwest, you kind of get a little order of where you're supposed to sit or whatever. And I kind of was A31. And anyway, I moved to the front where I was supposed to be, because I didn't want to get embarrassed, because they were telling me if I went in too early, you know. So I just went to where I was supposed to be. But it ended up putting me in a position to meet this guy, and we just started talking. And, you know, with life, you just don't know where your opportunities are going to come from or where an opportunity is going to come from. And so I guess what I'm ultimately saying is it's always good to be present and to be and to leave room for just your creative genius. You are a sensor feeler, and to be able to sense and feel, you almost need to be relaxed. You know what I mean? To do that. And structure may not give you the or creates too many parameters for you to be able to move. And I think that that's what you're finding consistently uncomfortable about trying to find a job and to work in a job. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with a job. So job folks out there, there's nothing wrong with people who work a job. Yeah. We need those. We need people.
And almost we need a partner who is on the opposite side, because it's a very well balanced. Right. I mean, it's beneficial. Of course, both people could have jobs. Both people could be entrepreneurs. But that entrepreneur in the job, like that situation, is very powerful.
You know what it is, and I kind of call it like the it's kind of being the cockeyed type of thing. One person's got the eyes on the future, while somebody else has the eyes on the present. The person's got the job.
Lizard in the movie Sing. You ever see that cartoon movie Sing?
I did not.
Okay, well, I'm gonna send you a photo of that lizard, and literally, I think one part of her fell out. Her eyes, one of them fell out. But yeah, it's like completely just rolling over here.
You know what? I think I've seen that. I think, but that's kind of how, you know, it's a good way to look at life or a partnership sometimes, you know, because both of you looking at the same thing, then it's a whole area that nobody's looking at, you know?
Yeah.
So balance is super important. I don't think we spend enough time learning the importance of balance. And I think that works in everything we do, you know? But especially when it comes to business. And one of the things I will say that I feel like most people get business wrong, because I think by the time we see someone in business, or when we think about somebody being their own boss, we think of them kicking their heels up and laying back and doing nothing, you know, while everybody's doing all the work for them. And, you know, that's just not how it works. I think that's a false thing. Perception. Now, again, it is a false perception, and it's a place that we all endeavor to get to, and you can get there, but it doesn't start off that way. So I think people get disenfranchised with the fact that, you know, being a boss comes with a lot. You know, there's a lot of work to being a boss. And honestly, I think the biggest first step is think about if you had a job. If you have a job, you can't just show up when you want. You got to show up at 9 o'clock. There's maybe tasks that you do to open your day. There's stuff that you have to do to get prepared for that day. So it's very regimented. And what you're supposed to do. And I think that's when people get into business for themselves, they don't think about creating that similar structure for themselves. You know what I mean? Hey, from 9 to 10, I'm going to do this type. I'm going to get my morning stuff set up. I'm going to make my calls between 10 and 12, but just creating your own structure. And because you're creating that structure, it's a little bit easier to accept structure that you're creating yourself. So, but without structure, you know, you don't have a business without consistency, because what you really have is a hobby. And I think that's the big thing that most people don't know the difference between a hobby and a business. You know, if you work your business like a hobby, then you'll make the same money or make similar money that people do in hobbies. And hobbies aren't things you generally make money from. But if you do want your business to grow and thrive, it has to be something that's very regimented, in a sense that you're saying, hey, even if it's just, hey, I'm going to just go hard 9 to 1. I'm going to start this 9 at 1 o'clock. I'm going to stop. That's a 5-hour day. The 4 hours day, 9 to 1. I mean, I do 12 to 14 hours, but I don't suggest other people doing that. And I'm trying to get out of that, but, I just know what I want. It's about knowing what you want. And by being a business owner, you get to decide what those hours look like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but one of the most important things I'd like you to kind of make sure you write down or you take away is I have to create structure for myself. You know what I mean? I've got to create a structure and stick to it. Even if it's not every day, if it's Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I'm going to, you know, make calls from 9 to 10 or 9 to, you know, whatever it is, whatever schedule you make for yourself, make sure you just stick to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always say it takes 30 days to create a good habit and one to create a bad one. So you just want to make sure you just stay on top of it for 30 days straight, you know, whatever schedule you set for yourself.
I just read a quote, just to piggyback on the habit thing. I just saw this 2 days ago. Hold on, let me get it. Because it was very like, exactly what you're saying. So it said, it says, you have to, it says, everything is all habit, really. Good habits are hard to develop, but they are easy to live with. Bad habits are easy to develop, but they are hard to live with.
Wow, yeah. Super impactful.
Right. Yeah. So I saved that because I'm like, wow.
So, so I think that, habits are super important. Here's another nugget I want you to take away or remember. A lot of people have different definitions of what success is. But I think the most, you know, simplest concept of what success is the little things that you do over and over again. That's what success is. You know what I mean? You think about all these athletes. We just watched the Olympics. You think about all these athletes that were just in the Olympics. I mean, these people work, they train, and they're doing these routines consistently over and over and over again. You're practicing the same routine thousands of times. You know what I mean? That's the only way to perfect it and to get better. And so those things work in business. If you do something one time, it's hard to perfect something you only do one time, or you do it intermittently. But once you start making something a practice, a habit, or something you do, that's what creates success. So understand how key that is. If you don't have any routines or habits, it's almost impossible to be successful, because even when something does happen for you, you don't know, you can't repeat inconsistency. You know what I mean? You can't bottle that. You can't teach that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the thing that is super, super important when it comes to, you know, being intentional with time, with things that you do, is really understanding that you have to give yourself structure. And in starting a business without structure, like I said, is not a business. It's really just a hobby. And it's about being real and understanding, you know, even having grace for yourself or with yourself when it comes to things is just kind of knowing. And it's hard to kind of do a paradigm shift all at once. And sometimes these things do take time, and sometimes you have to give yourself grace to develop some of these habits. But if you don't have a plan, at the very least, and I'm a big proponent, even for here, like every day, I have a to-do list that I write down every day, even though we're in the digital age and I could, you know, put it on a thing. It doesn't feel the same for me, and everybody's got their own process. But I like to write down what I'm going to do every day, because no matter what, in the middle of maybe this call, I may get another call. My staff might call. Somebody might call. I get, you know, distracted, and then I don't have a place to come back to. Okay, what was I working on? You know what I mean? I don't remember. Now my day is hijacked, and I don't have a way to kind of come back and refocus on, okay, now what's doing? Because inevitably, you are going to get, you know, distracted. You know, you have kids, so it could be the kids coming or whatever, but just understand that that's a part of structure and is setting up a to-do list of things that you're going to accomplish for the day. But more importantly, if you don't have any goals that you're setting for the day, each day, you really don't know if you had a successful day or not, because you really didn't set a parameter for what success was going to look like for that day. So how can you become successful? You know? So that's another super, super important part. It's kind of like running a race with no finish line. You know, you just keep running. That's a surefire way to get tired. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're just going to get exhausted yourself. Yeah.
Exactly. So, again, that's another simple tool, is to kind of document your journey every day or what you expect to do. And honestly, I don't put five things on, and I'm trying to get better with, I fill a whole legal pad. And I keep telling myself I'm going to go every other line, and I start off doing every other line, but by the middle of the day, those in between lines, other stuff starts getting in there. But I recommend people, honestly, you know, when you're beginning, when you're starting off, because it could be overwhelming looking at a big sheet of paper with 24 things on it. But if you set yourself 10 tasks every day, 10, you know, that 11th task you put on the first thing for tomorrow, you know, but you just say, hey, these are the 10 things I'm going to do. I'm going to stick to getting these 10 things done. And for me, what I always do with, I always do the things that I can accomplish like in 2 minutes. If I can do a task in 5 or 10 minutes, that's what I'm going to do first. So some people attack the hardest things.
Huh? Manageable.
Mm-hmm. The things that I can accomplish faster. And, mm-hmm. and why is that? Why would I do the fastest or the quickest things I can do first? What would be the reason for that?
So per the Atomic Habits, shut up, James Clear. per the Atomic Habits book, I'm actually, so this whole conversation and this whole intro to Mentored by Max. Okay. This whole intro to it is really like everything is coinciding with one another. What did you say?
I said stealing that.
Oh, of course. Not surprised.
Okay. Continue.
So it's just all coinciding with one another and like aligning. So I'd say like what the reason to do that is to literally build evidence for your case of success. So when you, it's evidence, it's more evidence. If you have a task that you know is going to take you 4 hours that day, you might only have 4 hours. And so you only have that one piece of evidence where you could have had 2 to 5 2-minute task, then a 10-minute task, and then you walk away from your day feeling like I did 12, 20 things today.
Right.
And so for that evidence, it's more proof that you are going to bat for your dream. It's more proof that you are accomplishing something. It's more proof and evidence that you're getting somewhere.
So even more so than that, I think there's a great point and a great thing to pick up. The reason why I do it is it's for momentum. You know what I mean? If you do one thing, then you could probably do two things. If you do two things, you could probably do three things. But so the more things you accomplish, and I'm addicted to to checking this stuff off. So it's writing it down, but I got to check it off. And the more things I can check off, it just makes it more realistic for me to check more things off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you do the hardest thing first, or the thing's going to take the longest, you're kind of worn out by that time, or something happens and you only got one thing done, like you were saying, as opposed to leaving the day with 4 or 5 things done. Even if you didn't get to that big thing yet, you got 5 other things, but it's easier. Like I said, there's a psychological part of about momentum and how momentum kind of works, and what success breeds is more success. You know what I mean? And so the reverse is also true. The less you feel successful, or you know, the less success you go out there and accomplish, because it's about momentum. And it's about psychology, and it's about kind of feeling like you're getting things done. And the more things you get done, the more likelihood you are to get more things done. So
the more evidence you have, yeah.
Yeah, right. Just like that. Yeah, whatever. You're calling evidence same thing. But yes, it works the same way. You know, we're just using different words.
Whatever. Exactly, yeah. But, and I'm only saying it that way because I guess hearing it was very profound for me. Like the whole... The concept of it being evidence, you know, like that, like, like just proving to yourself that you are this. It's identity change versus outcome, you know, the result driving you. It's not the end result driving you. It's the today. It's what did I accomplish today? What did I do today? And if you do that every day, success ends up coming.
And it does. It's like, you know, forgot that philosopher, I think it's Sun Tzu or whatever, I'm going to screw up the name, Lao Tzu or whatever. But anyway, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step, you know? So it's about taking a step. And I think also you know, when it comes to trying to accomplish anything, you want, like I said, momentum is super important. Momentum is super important to keep going. And it's actually really one of the laws of motion, you know, in physics, is that it's easier to keep something that's in motion going than it is to get it started the first, you know, in the beginning. So trying to move a boulder, you know, trying to, from its stable state where it's just sitting, is so much harder than to keep it rolling once it's starting to roll. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the thing that that's kind of how success works. That's how momentum works. That's how we are brain and our, and how we operate and work. And that's really the whole thing with that. And so the other part of that is giving yourself some grace when you don't get your, you don't beat yourself up for not getting your whole list done. You just actually now have take those things. And what I do is take the things that I didn't get done today and move them to tomorrow. And so now they're my priority for the next day. But writing it down definitely is, it keeps, gives you a record of what your goal is, what your focus is, what you're working towards. But not writing things down and trying to keep everything in your head is, to me, as like a recipe for disaster when it comes to trying to be successful, because it's just too much. The other thing that I'll say is, the more of the things that we have in our mind that we write down, the freer our mind is to create or to accomplish those things. Because now we're not trying to think about what we have to do. We just have to focus on getting it done, as opposed to trying to hold both of those things in our mind at the same time. So it's super important for that reason as well. You know what I mean? Writing things down clears your mind. And now you do not have to hold on to, it's kind of, think about a computer. The more things that store on the computer, the slower it runs, you know. The more things it has to have, you know, that it has in its memory, it, you know, it just runs slower, you know. But once you get something out of your brain because you wrote it down, then it's, yeah, like I said, you could, your mind just moves faster. It just moves quicker because it's not being bogged down with the thought of what you have to do. It's just seeing it. And another thing that I would say is, and I don't have this exact statistical number, but there's a statistical number of how many decisions we have in a day to make. You know, so a lot of times you'll find really wealthy people wear the same outfit all the time. They'll buy 10 of the same shirt and 10 of the same pants, and they look like they're wearing the same clothes all the time, even though they've got 10 of them in their thing. But it's one less decision to make in the morning with what you're going to put on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it's keeping your mind simple, keeping it simple, keeping it open to the creative process. So the less decisions you have to make, the easier it is to make the decisions that you have to make. You know what I mean? So there's something to be said about planning, getting things done, getting your mind clear, and just writing things down and following through. And then just basically from there, just kind of creating a pattern, you know, a pattern of successful. But at the end of the day, it's all about doing something every day. Every day. You know, you can give yourself weekends off, but every day you've got to do something. And even if it's three things for that day, maybe not, it won't always be 10. But if you're doing three things one day, seven things the other day, six things the other day, you know, five things the other day, by the end of the week, you've accomplished 20, 30 things, as opposed to constantly thinking about one thing that you want to do and never doing it, and you just never get anywhere. And that week, the week is going to go by regardless. Time is one, is one of those things. It's marching on. We can't stop it. It's going to go by. And I always think about, at the end of today, what do I want to be able to say that I've done by the time this day is over, or by the time this week is over? We're kind of at the end of a month. So the end of a month is a super big time for me for thinking about, what do I want to get done before this month is over? You know, I don't want to take an unfinished thing into a whole new month. So the end of every month, kind of like the end of every week for me, my mind starts thinking about, what can I close? What can I finish? So I'm not taking it to another week or into another month, you know? And that also can revert back to the smallest thing about even another day or this day, you know? What can you get done today so you don't have to take it into the next day? And again, sometimes you will have things that go in the next day, and that's okay. But having that roadmap is super, super important. It's very hard to be successful without it, you know? It just is.
Reflecting on the wrap-up.
Reflecting on the wrap-up. Okay, yes. That's a good
thing. Chapter title.
Huh?
It's a good chapter title when you're writing about that. Write that down. Steal that, too.
Yeah, I won't, but it's a good one. I might write it down. I don't know.
I did, so it's okay.
So tell me,
I like that.
Tell me what first steps are, what first steps look like for you on your journey.
Okay. I think honestly, you know me very well, which is why I think the conversation even started where it did, where it was about habits and consistency and where you are mentally and how to build motivation for yourself to keep the ball rolling. Sure, it may be difficult in the beginning to get you pushed, but push through that because it becomes a lot easier to keep it rolling once you got it rolling. I have a lot of gyms. So also after this, I'm going to separately record a reflection or review of my session with you. And because I got a lot of gems already from it and just things that stuck out to me. I really think that creating the 9-to-5 structure for my business, that's what I think is the best place for me to start. Because I want to do so many different things and I don't really know exactly what it's going to be just yet, but that structure should be the same regardless and should be refilled with whatever the specifics are when they come, you know? Yeah. So like, I should still be able to say, okay, between 9 and 10, I'm going to research these businesses. I'm going to look for influencers. I'm going to search, like, I should still be able to build a roadmap of structure for myself. To even get more inspiration and direction on what direction I do want to go in.
Right.
So like there's a way, I think this is cool because we're starting without even having a full place to start. And I think that's why a lot of people don't, because they feel like I don't have full direction. So what? We're doing it. Yeah. We're making it happen and we're figuring it out. So I think that's what's going to be really dope about going through this process, and dope that I get to do it with my dad, and dope that like there's a lot of really cool things about doing this. I'm very, very excited about it. But yes, I think the structure portion, the discipline portion, and just the discipline portion, I think that's a really good place for me to start. The discipline of the business needed for the business and what that looks like and breaking that down.
I think that definitely is a great place to start, because I kind of, once you kind of have that, and again, it will change, you know, what you do in those time frames will change. Right. But setting them up and setting them aside. I remember kind of like my very first, really the job, I think, that I kind of learned how to really super structure myself was when, you know, I'm 22, 23 years old, selling vacuum cleaners door to door. And even though that's I had appointments during the day, but I came home every night from 7 to 9, no matter what happened. I got on the phone from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. every night and made appointments for the next day. You know what I mean? And honestly, what happened is I started off in that business, as most people do. It was a door-to-door sales business. So you're knocking doors door-to-door. And this is tough. It's tough to get up and not have anywhere to go, and you just got to go knock on. It's hard to get motivated to go out to nowhere and just start knocking on doors and hoping to generate sale. And somebody walked in on one of those sales meetings one time, one of the successful salespeople that had been around for a while, and he talked about, hey, man, they don't just knock doors, they make appointments, you know? And so I kind of, from that moment on, hearing that. And so sometimes we can hear one nugget and it can change everything for us. You know, one thing, if we take it in, can change everything. And that one piece of advice taught me. What I did is I started asking for referrals from everybody I sat down with, and I would give them a sheet of paper, and I'd walk away and put my equipment away, you know what I mean, while they were, I'm cleaning up my equipment to give them, you know, I say, hey, can you get your phone book out, and I give them my piece of my referral sheet, and I walk away and put my equipment up, you know, and
people
guess what?
I used to do that.
Yeah, people used to have a phone book. Yeah, people used to. I would date myself really bad.
Oh my god! But yes, and they pull out their phone
book. Yeah, you know, I can't believe I said that. But yes, yes, people back then had phone books. There was a phone book. They had a black book or whatever.
I used to have them, and when I first got a phone, they still were a thing. Like they were making them all cutesy and stuff. But I just, just insane to rethink about. Like that was really a thing before.
You know what's even. Well, you know, I used this recently with a a staff person that was younger, and I was telling them about a black book, you know, and they did not know what that was at all. Yeah, so that was kind of funny, but yeah. So I would get people to send out and put their give me their information, give me referrals, and you know, honestly, just if I would get between 2 to 5 names. So if I had 5 appointments for that day, I end up with, you know, 10 to 15, 20 leads for people to call the next day. And, you know, so I'm saying that as a way of just kind of thinking about how to regiment the lead process. And that was me at a rudimentary level kind of figuring out how to do that. But it was the structure I created for myself with getting on that phone every night, no matter how tired I was, no matter how much I didn't want to do it. And in the business, the beauty is there's nobody telling you what to do, but that's also the curse. There's nobody telling you what to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's the challenge, you know? And so discipline is super, super important. And if you don't have it already, it's okay, but you could develop it. And the way to develop discipline is by routines, establishing routines and just repeating. And we get train ourselves that way. And I train myself.
And build evidence.
Yeah. It's, yes, and some evidence. Yes, whatever.
Nate's better cut me a check, man.
Yeah, but the point is that level of consistency, even when I didn't want to, even when I was tired, it paid dividends. And I always thought about, if I didn't make those calls, I know me being who I was, I didn't like knocking on strangers' doors. I didn't like doing that. And so that was my motivation. Okay, do I sit here in the comfort of my home and make these, you know, 20 or 30 calls? And with that, I would have, like I said, all these sheets, and I said, okay, I'm just going to make 20 calls. You know what I mean? I think sometimes it's creating, predictable parameters. I think sometimes we try to focus or make success about the outcome of a thing that we can't control, because we really can't control that. I couldn't control me scheduling 20 appointments that day or closing 10 sales. All I could control was how many calls I made. You know what I mean? No matter what, I could make 20 phone calls today. You know what I mean? And so this is the thing to do is say, hey, I'm going to make 20 phone calls. I'm going to reach out to 20 influencers. Or I'm going to reach out to, you know, make that number a number that you can actually control and accomplish, because then you're in control of that goal. You know, you can't control, hey, I'm going to close 10 of these deals, or I'm going to get 10 people to talk to me or whatever. But you can say how many people you're going to reach out to, and know that everything is a numbers game. So that's the one thing in every one of our businesses is understanding what the numbers are in your business. You know, so if I knew that if I talked to 5 people, if I did 5 demonstrations back then, I'm kind of using that old example from 20 years ago or whatever, but it just, I don't know why that one came up, but it's the first thing. It's kind of like how my structure began. And I guess that's why it's coming up now, because it's how I built business structure. And honestly, it's that whole business changed my life. And I don't know if I ever talked to you about this or maybe I have, but I haven't mentioned to you in a while, was, you know, even the way I came across that business opportunity was just strange. I had actually, again, here I find myself a 22-year-old guy taking care of a family of 5, and I'm working at a job. I'm working at Toyota, of all places. A wife and 3 kids.
Oh, okay, the woman. Okay.
Yeah, so.
I'm 90.
Yeah.
You ready to tell me my brother's sister? Yeah. I got an extra one on me.
A couple extras I didn't tell you about, but. So, anyway. The point was, is that, you know, of all places, I was working for Toyota, which is ironic, you know, and, you know, I'm selling cars and I'm at that job. And I get fired after 3 months on that job. And then I go get this other job.
Is that the guy who was like an a-hole? And
No, that was not that guy. So the first job was, and like I said, it's crazy because these happened back to back. And so that job, you know, the way it worked then, I don't know if Toyota works this way now, but that particular dealership, I should say, they hired five new trainees. They paid us all, ironically, they paid us $1,000 a month was my salary. But this was in the, this was like in the early 90s, you know? So $1,000 a month was not, it wasn't horrible, you know?
Yeah.
But I was, it was like the equivalent of trying to survive today off of like $36,000 or $40,000, you know? Mm-hmm. You could do it, but it's tough.
Yeah.
So here I'm making $1,000 a month. That was the training pay. They hired five of us, but they were only keeping one of us. They didn't tell us that. Where they were, you know, they were bringing on five to train. They were only keep one. So that their thing was $5,000 a month, you know, was what they were paying to get that one person or whatever. So now I had really good product knowledge, but I was at that time, I really did not know. I wasn't great at sales in a sense that I wasn't great at approaching people or talking to people or being outgoing. I didn't have that at that time. I didn't know how to. Now, if somebody came and talked to me, I had all the product knowledge. I knew exactly what to say, but that's not how sales works. People don't just come up to you and say, sell me something. You know what I mean? So I did not develop that skill yet. But anyway, long story short, I wasn't the person that got, you know, and that's devastating to you know, be the sole provider and you got to ride home and, you know, tell your wife that you just lost your job. The only income, you know, that was coming into the house, that's tough. So
yeah.
I get another job, it took me another 4 weeks to find another job. And that's the crazy job where I'm selling furniture, I'm selling furniture. And now I'm getting $1,500 a month. You know what I mean? And, it's a little bit of a different environment, but I didn't feel good about what I was selling. But the thing that I remember the most about that job was they had four letters over the door. The front door to leave. And those letters were OTFD. And our job as furniture salespersons was to get the furniture out the effing door. So that was and they had those letters. So they had, that was their pump war cry. Hey, OTFD, OTFD. So it just, it was just crazy. But that, and they were sticklers. Once it got on the other side of this warehouse, the customer was responsible. They didn't take it back. There was no refunds. It was bad. But they sold to people who were, you know, not wealthy people. Obviously, it was particle board. It's a product you just, if you saw somebody that you sold something to, you kind of hid your face. You know? So you didn't feel good about what you were selling. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I didn't feel good about what I was selling, which is not a good thing when you don't feel good about your
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about taking that job was here. Now, again, so I'm at the first job, 3 months, $1,000. I get this job, now I'm making $1,500 a month. And I'm thinking, man, this is great. I'm making $1,500 a month, $500 more than I did from that last job. Honestly, I'm on this job for 3 months and I get fired again. So it's 6 months to get fired twice. And I've never been fired before that ever in my life and was never fired after that. But to have that happen, that does something to you inside. It does something to your how you feel about who you are. But in my first book, I'll get to that in a second, but what happened after that was what changed my life. Those two situations happened. The second one was more my fault because, did the manager. It's funny to me now, but the manager was this guy who was like a Martin Lawrence kind of guy. He was a comedic guy. And if it was your day, man, you was not having a good day. If he was on you that day, you just didn't feel good, you know. So on his day off, I called the radio station, the number one radio station in the area. And I did a mama joke. I pretended to be, did a crank call, said I was his mama. And it was the funniest bit. It was hilarious. Everybody was cracking up. He heard it while on his day off. It was the funniest thing ever, Bree. He heard it on his day off and he came back so mad, pissed off. And, you know, a week later, I was fired. You know, long story short, a week later.
So after these experiences.
After those two things happened, within 6 months, there's something in you that doesn't feel good about yourself after getting fired twice. There's nothing more demoralizing than getting fired, I don't think. If it is, I don't know what it is, but it's pretty, demoralizing. But what ended up happening is I ended up taking this job at Electrolux, a job I would have never taken because those other two jobs were salaries. You know what I mean? They were guaranteed money, you know? But this, here I'm now, you know, devastated. I've lost two jobs. I'm desperate, you know, your family to take care of. And so I take the first job that would take me at this point, and it was selling vacuum cleaners door to door, 100% commission. 100% commission. So first time ever in my life I ever worked on 100% commission, and that changed my life. In my first book, Success, I wrote about how about getting fired up. And that's kind of what happened. I got fired up from that Toyota. I went from 1,000 to 1,500. When I went from the furniture place getting 1,500, guess how much I made my first year selling vacuum cleaners door to door? Now, I made $50,000 as a 23 or 24 year old person in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Now, just to put that in perspective, $1,000 a month is $12,000 a year. That's what I was making at Toyota.